Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch on today, Veterans Day, known as Remembrance Day in the United Kingdom. This is your Captain Joe. I'm up in the captain's chair in the Gene Bosch Memorial Studio, broadcasting to you live all over the world on voiceofvashon.org and streaming if you are not within the range of our miserable signal, a very small signal because we are licensed as 101.9 on the FM band, the frequency modulated band, as a small neighborhood station. It is indeed Veterans Day, not Memorial Day. We already had that. It is Veterans Day, and I have my buddy Poppy right here with me. It is not a prideful thing for me to report that this is the only buddy Poppy that I have seen today. And although the flags are out all up and down Vashon Highway Southwest in the town of Vashon on the magical isle of Vashon, I have seen only my own buddy Poppy. The poppies, of course, are in memory of the poppies that grew in France during the First World War. And I'll talk a little bit more about Veterans Day and about several veterans that have touched me and about whom I may or may not have talked before from the captain's chair, but I'm going to today. The binnacleist today happily has no crossings of the bar to report. It does, however, have a couple of new entries that are of great concern to your captain because they are, first of all, new entries. They are, secondly, very serious. And thirdly, there is a considerable amount of testing yet to be done. I am not yet able to give even a first name, but at the appropriate time I will. But in the meantime, this is broadcasting in the blind. I want the energy from all of Captain Joe's people to be going out to all who are on the binnacle list. I don't have anything additional to report in my own case. The situation continues to be steady as she goes, continues to be boring. And until there are either changes up or down on the scope, as my radarman friends say, until the IFF signal shifts over to a threat, I am just going to say it continues to be steady as she goes. Last week was my birthday, and because it is not a seminal one, as was the one that we had last year, it was a relatively low-key one, but I was flooded and surrounded by wonderful signals from all over the world, from Captain Joe's people all over the world. Family, friends of family rank, people with whom I've sailed. There were so many of them that it is going to take me probably until next year to acknowledge all of them. But one of them came as what I thought was a book. And I was going to open the parcel here on the broadcast, and whatever the book was, I was going to use that as the book for today. The parcel came from an old friend of your captain and this broadcast, one of my XOs. And so I opened the parcel, and I kept going down through these layers and not getting to a book. And I got all the way down to what was really in the parcel, and it was not a book at all. It was a series of wonderful photographs taken of times and places where XO and I have been together. This is the kind of thing that reminds me on a daily basis that I am the most fortunate of men, and fortunate in the people who served me and served the people that I was privileged to command. And my XO, number one, is one of those. So although I don't have a book this week, and the reason I don't have a book is that it wasn't a book at all that was in the parcel, it reminds me that when we talk about Veterans Day in this country, we talk about people like me anyway, talk about people who with whom I have served or whose stories I know. I will bet you that XO, number one, is wearing a Buddy Poppy today. And if somehow or other it has become detached, figuratively, I'm sending him another one today. For not only is he himself a veteran, he is also a Vietnam veteran. He was the captain of one of the Coast Guard patrol boats that was operating very close inshore. And he had been a captain in his own right at least two other times. The relationship of an XO to his captain is always a very interesting one. And it was reflected in particular by the remarks in the cards that came with what I thought was going to be the book for today and turned out to be something much better. So that's my first veteran for today, my XO, my number one, with my thanks for the wonderful photographs, but even more for my thanks for your regard, your respect, your affection over all of the years that we have been together. As a side issue, not an issue, but as a side point, XO's wife, Joan, was a cancer victim. And then not too long after that, Mary R. crossed her own bar. The one photograph that I have in the downstairs part of Captain Quarters shows the four of us together. Joan, Mary R., XO, and the captain. In other veterans that I want to use as part of my reflection on the day are the father of my neighbor, my friend, my colleague, my boss as the head of the Washington Poison Center, Dr. Phillips. His father was a P-47 pilot in the European Theater of Operations during World War II. I met him. We had a chance to talk a little bit about it. And recently I came across, yes, a YouTube broadcast that talked all about P-47s, the people that flew them, the way that they were trained, and the kinds of missions that they flew over two hours of just wonderful film footage. The other one that I'm going to, the next one that I am going to put in is that Dr. Phillips' wife, Michelle, who is my authority and expert on all things cats, from whom came the legendary but not mythical sailor, her dad, who is still alive, was a Huey helicopter pilot in Vietnam. The worst, absolutely the worst kind of flying, and the worst and in the most dangerous of environments. And of course, I have met him. I have watched him maneuver a very large recreational vehicle into a very small spot, being frequently advised in the consummation of this particular effort by his wife, Michelle's mom. So there are a couple of veterans that I reflect on whenever I reflect on this day. Yesterday, to add to this, was the birthday of the Marine Corps. The Coast Guard and the Marine Corps have a particularly close relationship because sometimes our very existence is questioned, and it has to be demonstrated again, the need for an organization like the Marine Corps, the need for an organization like the Coast Guard. And the reason, of course, that we are so close as two organizations is that the story that we tell about Douglas Monroe, who was a second-class signalman in the Coast Guard, and who earned the Medal of Honor by putting ashore and saving many Marine Corps lives during the Battle of Guadalcanal in World War II. That story is told in Marine Corps history lessons, and it is told in Coast Guard history lessons. I have two Marines in my immediate family. Mary R's brother, Pat, is a Marine who did his boot camp in San Diego. And Mary R's cousin, Margaret, her husband, Dwayne, is a Marine who did his boot camp in Paris Island. I did not know it until I got the two of them together for some event that there is considerable disdain from Marines who do their boot camp in one for Marines who do their boot camp in the other. I find that to be an interesting phenomenon. I had to not adjudicate, because I did not go to boot camp there. I had to be the moderating influence, that's it, the command presence, to settle the two of them down as their discussion became somewhat heated. But they were and are both Marines, and like a wearer of the shield, if you are a Marine and you have served honorably and served a full tour, you are a Marine for the rest of your life. I think that is a wonderful, wonderful way of looking at life. So happy birthday yesterday to the Marine Corps. Semper Fi, Semper Fidelis, always faithful, from a wearer of the shield. Semper Paratus, always ready. The whole business of Veterans Day, which is called Remembrance Sunday, is particularly observed And everybody wears a buddy poppy, or they don't call it a buddy poppy, but everybody wears a poppy in the UK. In World War I, which is where the date comes from, because it was on the 11th month, November, on the 11th day, which is today, at the 11th hour, the guns went silent on the First World War, ending the First World War, ending with the defeat of Germany and Germany's allies, culminating in the creation of the Treaty of Versailles, which some historians and other people say was the birth, the genesis of the things that happened in World War II. I'm not going to get into that in that discussion here, but the point that I make is that on the 11th of November at 1100 hours in 1918, the First World War ended, the guns went silent. The young men in the United Kingdom were killed at such a terrible rate, and so many of them that were lost, that almost took an entire generation of young people, young men, was lost. Every year, on the Sunday closest to the 11th of November, the Brits have what they call Remembrance Sunday. The monarch, in this case, King Charles III, always appears in uniform, and is wearing on that uniform a poppy. And on the 1100, last post, all of these things serve to remind those who are subjects of the monarch, in this case, His Majesty the King, of the terrible losses that they sustained. There are cemeteries in France. There are German cemeteries in France. In fact, there are German, what are called ossuaries, where the bones of thousands of young German soldiers. It was proclaimed to be the war to end all wars, and of course we know that that did not happen. We had to have World War II after that, and we are still killing each other in different parts of the world. My magazine today is, of course, The Week. And the cover of this particular issue of The Week has the expression, "The Hard Path to Peace." Once again, we are in different parts of the world, killing civilians in particular. And it is heartbreaking. It remains heartbreaking. And we hope, we always hope, and especially those of us who took up the profession of arms. In my own case, I spent a much larger part of my life in the saving of lives rather than the taking of them. But when called upon to defend the precious land in all of its faults and flaws and in all of its colors, the oath that we all took, each one of us took the same oath. And the wording of that oath goes almost exactly the same as it was when George Washington took it in 1789. So, enough of reflection on Veterans Day. It is my hope and my wish, and would certainly be my command, if it were to me to be able to command it, that everywhere, all over the world, the weapons be put down, and people of goodwill get together and figure out how we are going to manage a peace. But I am a realist, and I doubt that we are ever going to, in so long as there are human beings who can make choices, that we're ever going to get to the point where we have peace all over the world at the same time. But I always hope. And I'm going to keep on talking about it, just like I'm talking to all of you now. And I'm going to keep working at it. Keep saying words like kindness and helping each other out. Semper paratus. Always ready. Because all of these things are good. And it is what I will do later today is one of my favorite ceremonies, is the changing of the guard at the Tomb of the Unknowns in Arlington Cemetery. Arlington Cemetery, of course, is on the ground, the land that belonged to Robert E. Lee. And it came to the government, our government, the federal government, as what we might call a prize of war. Lee's mansion is still there. The cemetery takes up the land that belonged to him and now belongs to all of us. Those of us who have served for and lived for a long time have many friends, colleagues. My Uncle Jim, a colonel of Marines, Navy Cross, is buried in Arlington National Cemetery. Many of us are eligible. I'm eligible to be buried there, but when the time comes, oh, let it be far away, because I have a lot of work yet to do. Many turns of the propeller yet. I'm going to be buried next to Mary R., right here on the magical Isle of Vashon. So, that's my book, which is not a book at all. It is a thank you to my XO. So, I'm going to read a quote in the theme of that I try to fulfill in my mission every week, which is to make everybody feel just a little bit better about themselves and the world in which we live. And this is from a section of the week called It Wasn't All Bad. It's one of my favorite sections of the magazine that comes every week. The dates in which it comes are really interesting and not always on time. In fact, it's never on time. But it comes with a section about real estate that we're going to buy. And it comes with a section called It Wasn't All Bad. And so this is the one from the week that I have in front of me. And it goes as follows. An owl, blown off course by Storm Amy and left starving and exhausted in the middle of the North Sea, had a stroke of good fortune when it found an oil rig to land on. The short-eared owl was spotted by staff on the Noble Patriot platform, 180 miles off the coast of Shetland. They made it a little home and fed it raw chicken, then flew it back to shore in a helicopter and handed it to a wildlife center. It was nursed back to health and has been released back into the wild. And this particular article has a connection to your captain, because the first assignment that I had out of the academy, the Coast Guard Academy, was to a cutter that was occupying a station halfway between Honolulu and Tokyo. Ocean Station Victor, 34 north, 164 east. The closest land was 3 miles down, and it was occupied by a series of four Coast Guard cutters that were home ported in the Coast Guard base in Honolulu. And we would get underway, would fuel in Midway, go and occupy the station, then go into Yokosuka, Japan, come back out, occupy the station again, and on the way home, refuel once again in Midway, and then come back to Honolulu. Each one of these round trips was about 3 months. Out on Ocean Station Victor, there were at least two Laysan Albatross, which come from Midway. And the two that were there, they would, when a ship would be relieved, they would just shift their loyalties over to the ship that was the relieving cutter. You had to hold your station no matter the weather. That was my first exposure to a Pacific typhoon, not my last. It was also in that ship, the Coast Guard cutter Winnebago, that I was almost washed overboard in one of those Pacific typhoons. So when the station was decommissioned, and the albatrosses finally figured out that there was nobody coming out to feed them because they had plenty to eat. The mess cooks would just dump everything that was left from a meal over the side. And so all of the wildlife at 34 North, 164 East, which is a pretty dismal place, could be a pretty dismal place. They had plenty to eat. And then when they finally figured out that there was no cutter coming, did they go back to Midway? I don't know the answer to that question. But similar to this owl that was able to land on the oil rig, I have been shipmates with Laysan Albatross. And these are big birds. They have a wingspan of, when they're fully stretched out, maybe 6 feet. And they eat a lot. And they would just shift from one cutter to the next when it was time to relieve. So I tell this story because even today, there are good things that happen on places like oil rigs. And here is this owl. Happy owl. I'm just looking at my notes, and I am looking at one other thing, and that is that yesterday was also the 50th anniversary of the loss of the Edmund Fitzgerald up on the Great Lakes. Well known because there is a song about the Edmund Fitzgerald. But I bring it up here because the Edmund Fitzgerald loss was a real tragedy, no question about that. Every ship loss is a tragedy to your captain. But the Great Lakes is known for others. And there are other Lakers that have been lost with even more loss of life. I'm not going to get into the speculation as to what caused the Edmund Fitzgerald to go down. I was asked yesterday by somebody who is not a sailor whether or not she should have been kept from getting underway. And I said, no, ships like that, if they're properly managed and properly handled and they are properly rigged for heavy weather, should be easily able to survive that storm and storms a lot worse. The key, of course, is being properly handled, properly rigged for heavy weather. The crew is ready for heavy weather. And I can assure you that the storm in which Edmund Fitzgerald sank, it was by no means the worst storm on the Great Lakes, and by no means the one in which there was the major, even loss of life greater than that. I've reflected a long time on Veterans Day, Remembrance Sunday. I've done it on purpose. We've come now to the end of our time together for today. And as always, we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. And between now and next time, I will be making a trip to the East Coast to participate in a meeting of one of my professional societies, and I will report on that. But I want everybody to reflect on the significance and the meaning of what we call Veterans Day and what the Brits call Remembrance Day, because it's really important. And as always, not only do we say goodbye, never say goodbye, we say until we meet again, but as always, this is your Captain Joe. I am on station, wearing my buddy Poppy,